40 million people in Mexico do not have access to the internet. Our company, Altan Redes, is building a network that will connect them to the world. Chubb wrote insurance policies that gave the Mexican government, our investors, and partners the confidence they needed to make this happen. They also cover our construction risk, damage to the network, and environmental exposure. For a project this complex, Chubb was the one.
Learn more at chubb.com/WSJ.
What's news from the Wall Street Journal? Top stories and timely insights.
I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Coming up in a little while, we'll take a look at the U.S. economy in the wake of a strong jobs report and the appointment of a new Fed chief. But first, let's talk about the action on Wall Street for the week just passed and also where things might go from here. The three major averages hit record closes Friday on word that job growth rebounded in October. And after Apple reported strong results late Thursday, the Dow rose 22 points Friday to 23,539. Apple stock pushed the NASDAQ up 49 points to the composite 63rd record close this year. The S&P 500 rose 8 points. The Dow and S&P are now each on 8-week winning streaks. The NASDAQ had its 6th straight weekly gain. Corey Driebusch, Wall Street Journal markets reporter, joins us. Corey, you wrote in your market report Friday that there were quite a few market-moving announcements this week. Jobs, a GOP tax overhaul, the Fed meeting, the naming of a new Fed chief. The week was just chock full.
Yes, it was. There was a lot for investors to parse through, and yet the markets remained fairly resilient, and that's what a lot of traders and analysts were talking about. We really just ground higher day after day, and on Friday, all three major U.S. stock indexes closed at records.
And this also in the wake of, I guess, events outside the markets, the indictments connected to the alleged Russian meddling in the election, also the terrorist attack in New York, and through it all, stocks just found a way to go higher.
Yes, when I was mentioning the announcements, I wasn't even talking about the non-market announcements, and we saw some really terrible things going on. And again, markets just kept climbing. And that has been the case. That's the story of this year. And as one head of capital markets told me today, investors don't want to miss the next high tomorrow, the expectation that the next day is going to be higher.
We know that earnings have helped drive the rally, Corey. We've talked about it from one week to the next. But aren't there also renewed expectations for a tax cut now that the House has unveiled its tax reform plan?
A little bit. What was interesting talking to folks this week was the feeling and the consensus among at least a lot of portfolio managers and traders I spoke with that this tax overhaul is not going to be passed in this current version. And it was interesting this week, the market was not necessarily thrilled with the details of the Republican tax bill. If you were to look at how the market reacted, the Dow actually, I believe, initially fell a bit before coming back up. And among the reasons for the falling were home builder stocks, for instance, took a bit of a stumble. And that was over some concerns about changes to mortgage tax deductions. So it wasn't all that rosy as maybe folks had been expecting, say, 6 or 7 months ago when they thought about a tax overhaul.
What about the plan for a corporate tax cut? Did investors welcome that? Did you get a sense that they welcomed that?
Yes, definitely. Overwhelmingly, folks I spoke with said they would love to see a corporate tax cut. However, based on all the other moving pieces in this current version, they just don't see it passing. So there's a little bit of wariness on what actually we'll be able to get through.
Now, the Trump administration, and I guess the House Republicans too, have set forth a rather ambitious timetable. Donald Trump says he wants to, or he plans to have a bill
before Thanksgiving, I believe.
Before Thanksgiving, yeah, by Thanksgiving, he wants to have this bill passed. And that's ambitious. Do investors also get the feeling that that's really not going to happen?
Yes. It's hard. Investors are always quick to say that they don't make any assumptions about what's going on in Washington, D.C. as well in terms of timing. But based on past experience in the past year, we haven't seen a lot of quickly moving bills go through the House and Senate.
What about the Fed meeting and the appointment of a new Fed chief, Corey? How does that factor in the appointment of Jerome Powell, who's a Fed governor, to be the next Fed chair? He's viewed as probably following in the footsteps of Janet Yellen, you know, fairly easy money policy. What do investors make of that?
Yes. As you mentioned, Jerome Powell's appointment, which came as a non-surprise on Thursday because the Wall Street Journal had reported that he was going to be the appointee, next chairman, rather, of the central bank. But the market fairly welcomed this news because, as you mentioned, he is seen as someone who will continue in Janet Yellen's footsteps and continue those policies. There was also the Fed meeting this week that seemed to keep the Fed on pace for another rate increase by December. So even with the jobs report on Friday, which was a little below expectations, at least according to the economists that the Wall Street Journal had surveyed, and wage growth in the past month had slowed a little bit.
Yeah.
However, the expectations, if you look at the futures market where some people bet on whether we're going to see a rate increase, that really didn't change much. Yeah. So there's still the expectation that we're staying on course on this policy. Which Jerome Powell continues and the market that expects. And really what the market likes is things going as they expect.
Certainty, yes.
Certainty versus uncertainty.
So is the expectation that, you know, the markets will continue to go higher because, as you mentioned, investors don't want to miss out on the rally?
Yes. And there's also this feeling that there's a lot of cash on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And because at the beginning of the year, if you look back at a lot of the 2017 expectations for the stock market, which are always put out in December or November of the prior year. So if you look at a lot of those original expectations, we were supposed to have a flat market in 2017. And here we go, the market's up double digits. So there were a lot of folks caught off guard. They still have money to put to work. They don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So anytime, as the journal, there was a great story this week, anytime that we see any sort of pullback, that money gets put to work.
Wall Street Journal reporter Corey Driebusch, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Charlie.
Coming up, we'll talk about the state of the economy. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening, everyone. After a very busy week for economic reports, the upcoming week's calendar is relatively bare. We'll have reports on small business sentiment, consumer credit, and consumer confidence. Several top Federal Reserve officials will give speeches this week, including now outgoing Fed Chair Janet Yellen. Joining us to talk about the economy is Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Cheney, who's in Washington. Sarah, we've had a number of recent reports suggesting the economy is pretty healthy right now, in particular the October jobs report released on Friday. I understand the 261,000 new jobs added was softer than expected after a tough September, but it still indicates a pretty strong labor market, doesn't it?
Oh, certainly. I mean, you had the jobless rate fall in October to 4.1%, which is actually the lowest reading since December 2000. I mean, that partially reflects the fact that fewer Americans were actually working or seeking work. But still, it's a very low unemployment rate. And the October gain of 261,000 jobs was really healthy and came after some hurricane disruption. So overall, the labor market continues to be really in positive shape.
Wage growth was rather subdued during the month of October. I'm just wondering why wages aren't rising at a faster pace since this is a tight labor market.
Right. I mean, it's a great question that has lots of economists kind of scratching their heads these days. The theory is that as the unemployment rate falls, wages and inflation should rise, but we just really haven't seen that during this economic expansion. Could be for a number of reasons. I mean, productivity growth has been really slow, so workers might not be able to demand wages like we've seen in past cycles, for instance.
Now, this came after Fed policymakers held rates steady this past week, Sarah, but policymakers also upgraded their assessment of the economy and indicated that it would raise rates in December. It looks like a rate hike is a virtual lock in the wake of this jobs report, doesn't it?
Yes, there is a very strong possibility of a December rate rise. You never know for sure, but markets are factoring that in with near certainty. I think the question is more, what are we going to see in the long term with rate rises? You know, is the economy at risk of overheating? We have this labor market that seems to be performing really solidly. So that could prompt the Fed to raise interest rates at a faster pace than some might expect. But at the same time, we have a president who seems to prefer sort of a low interest rate policy. So that could end up being reflected in rate increases in the future.
Well, let's talk about Jerome Powell, the Fed governor that President Trump has nominated to succeed Janet Yellen as Fed chair. Well, first of all, is this a surprise? I mean, after all, Trump has said he's pleased with Yellen's stewardship of the economy.
You know, it's hard to say whether it was a surprise. I mean, I think by Thursday, when Powell was nominated, most people were pretty certain that that was going to occur. Mr. Trump has been fairly supportive of Janet Yellen, but obviously decided to choose Powell for a reason. And if he's confirmed, then he'll succeed Yellen and her term expires in February. She could still stay on as a Fed governor because that term doesn't end until 2024. But overall, I mean, Powell serving as a Fed governor hasn't dissented from policy, and most people are expecting that he'll kind of carry on the legacy of Bernanke and Janet Yellen in terms of very slow interest rate increases. But you never know until someone actually takes office.
And finally, Sarah, we'll get the University of Michigan's preliminary consumer sentiment index for November. That's on Friday. Americans must be feeling pretty good about the economy. Recent reports have shown, for example, that consumer spending is strong.
Yes, we do get that report on Friday. And consumer sentiment, what's interesting, it's been rising. It seems to be hitting a new record almost every other month. And it actually reached its highest level since 2004 in October. And we've seen the same thing with the conference board's consumer confidence index, in that it's just been really high, especially since the election of President Donald Trump. And so the question has been, you know, do these really strong sentiment readings translate into spending growth? Because that's ultimately what matters when we're talking about the state of the economy. It's what feeds into gross domestic product growth and other important hard data figures. And so the latest consumer spending figures have been really strong. In the personal income report on Monday, we saw spending grow 1% in September from the month before, which was a really solid pace. In the GDP report the other week, consumer spending also did fairly well, especially in light of recent hurricane activity. So I do think it's safe to say that we're kind of finally starting to see the sentiment figures translate more into the spending gains that we would hope for.
Wall Street Journal economics reporter Sarah Cheney joining us from Washington. Thanks a lot, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
And that's What's News. I'm Charlie Turner at the Wall Street Journal.
Spend time with Alexa, then make What's News part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo, the Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.